Hi, this is Jeff Klein, ex-IMSA racer, and welcome to F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
You want to
keep up the good work, Steven, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Falb, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 387, October 29th, 2009. Steven?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by the Northern California Jim Russell Rotax Challenge and Marin Karting. Check them out. You know you want to.
Keep up the good work, Steven. And, of course, we simply love the Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Challenge, which will be dealing with round number nine.
Number nine.
Very shortly. On today's program, Abu Dhabi, already a classic. Jensen holding out for the big bucks. Donington out, Silverstone in. And, of course, Motorsports Mondial with Nasser. He has returned from Europe with a huge sack of interviews.
Kind of like the interview Santa?
Completely. I mean, this is out of control. He's just, I mean, eventually he'll probably have an interview with Sarkozy.
Ooh.
So, there you go. Keep up the good work, Nas. Of course, this is going to be coming out of the F1 Weekly budget.
You mean I'm not getting a check again?
Yes, nobody's getting a check because Nasser is costing us a fortune. But there you have it, Steve. And now we're going off to Abu Dhabi. Of course, Yas Marina. And apparently this track is attracting a lot of attention.
Yeah, I've seen the layout and I actually rode around in a virtual tour of it, and it looks like it could be a fun track to watch. Got a couple quick turns at the end of long straights, which are always good for passing. We'll see how it works out. You know, we've seen, you know, the last couple street tracks that we've seen come on to the circuit haven't had a lot of good passing opportunities, but one can hope that this will be a little bit more competitive than it's been. It looks like a beautiful facility, though.
Oh, of course. I mean, we're talking money coming out of the woodwork here. I mean, they literally have trees that grow money in Abu Dhabi. That's how they do it.
Yeah, and then they get a whole ton of people to volunteer, so they don't have to pay people to work the track.
I'm not going to get involved in that, but still, this track looks fantastic. Of course, the runoff areas have been cut short to simulate a street course, and then half of it is more of a classic racing circuit. David Coulthard is gone. He's just head over heels in love with this facility. Of course, that was because he was all by himself on the track, which caused
exactly. He didn't have anybody to run into to kind of ruin the field.
Correct.
You know, now it's going to encourage him yet even more to try to make his comeback next year with one of the smaller teams.
But nevertheless, I'm looking forward to it. It's sort of nice now that the championship is over. Jenson Button has taken it all and still absorbing it.
And is trying to run to the bank with it.
Yeah, not only that, but he's definitely running. And that's the big hoopla is, of course, his manager is holding out for the big ducats. When they found out what Kimi Raikkonen was taking home, people like...
But it comes down to you're not going to Ferrari, gents. You know, if you look at what other guys make, with other teams, particularly with independents. Dude, you know, if you're going to get 10 or 12, run with it, because you're not going to get that from just anybody.
Well, I think you're only going to get it from Ferrari from looking at my numbers. I mean, I'm looking at these salaries.
That the 2009 salary list came out today.
Holy Toledo!
Yeah, really the only team that really ponies up money is, if you're talking really big bucks, is Ferrari. The manufacturers put some money out there. They'll pay, but not Ferrari kind of money.
It's very impressive, and Ferrari only pays a lot of money to the number one guy. I'm sorry, but I've got the figures.
I know, you got to wonder how.
And if anybody thinks that there's no number one and number two, they are very, very wrong. And this really proves my point.
And it's really interesting considering that the number two at Ferrari came within a point of winning the championship
last
year. And he's making, what,
$8 million.
One-sixth?
$8 million compared to Kimi's 45 milliones. And that's not lira.
Yeah, exactly. 45 million lira might be, you know, a little bit reasonable, but
that's what we get paid.
Exactly. It's just phenomenal. So seven times, pretty much like, what is it, five? It's five times as much?
I don't know, but I think Felipe Massa is going to have something in his eye, no pun intended.
I'm sure Felipe's plenty happy to be making $8 million because, you know, before he got the right of Ferrari, he was probably like a Jaime Alguersuari and making a half mil.
Well, like still, I said,
you can buy a lot of stuff in Brazil for $8 million.
I think it's a little bit out of proportion.
Yeah, it's definitely out of proportion. Obviously, Ferrari wanted Kimi and wanted to make sure they got Kimi.
And that's how they do it. So now they got Fernando. And you know what?
But I look at that and go, okay, they're spending this kind of money, and then they're walking him out the door with another year on his contract where they're going to pay him yet another year at this kind of money. It's like, are they really selling that many cars? Or is Marlboro really paying them that kind of money?
Well, I see a lot of Ferraris in California, Stephen. And the latest car I see a lot is Bentleys. Don't know what's going on, but I see a lot of Bentleys in California.
Must be the new trend.
I suppose. So there you have it. The salaries are out of control. Of course, all of you can see. I'm surprised.
Considering Kimi basically makes twice what the next closest driver does.
Yeah, Lewis Hamilton, $18 million. Fernando Alonso, a measly $15 million. Because he's not greedy.
Yeah, well, we don't know what he's going to be making next year.
He's going to be making plenty because apparently Ferrari get what they want.
Right.
And they just
pay for it.
And I think that's just, you know, that's the capitalist system, Stephen.
Now, there's a nice even team. You know, Sebastian Vettel at $6 million and then Mark Webber at 5.5. You know, that's the way it ought to be.
That's pretty reasonable. You know, and I think $6 million for a young Vettel is pretty good.
Yeah, it's good for Vettel and it's good for the team.
You know, yeah.
Considering what he brings to the team.
And he was fighting for the championship this year. Let's see. I hope he gets 10 next year just for laughs.
Just for giggles, especially considering who his owner is.
And let's not forget Kimi Raikkonen. 20% of that $45 million goes to his manager. Sebastian Vettel has no manager.
Exactly.
Smart young man. Keep up the good work.
Keep all that for yourself.
So anyway, yes, the last race of the season. Steve, did you enjoy the 2009 season?
Yes, I did. It was nice to see something other than red and silver on the podium every week.
Yep.
It did get kind of tedious when it started to become red and blue and white and yellow, but it was fun to watch because it was a little bit dicey there for a while. The fact that Braun came out and just dominated, but Red Bull came back and gave him a fight, and it was a fun season to watch. You know, the podiums were mixed up.
I agree.
I think that's what's driving me crazy about the last 2 years is that, oh, well, what do you know? Ferrari won the race. Or, oh, what do you know? McLaren won the race. It's like, kind of gets a little dull after a while. It's like, yeah, mix it up. I like it when more people win.
Yeah, Ferrari won one race this season. They still have a chance to win in Abu Dhabi. McLaren having a great surge towards the end of the season. Interesting season with the Renault gate and the crash gate and the one that we will not mention. Just a very good season. I remember the beginning of the season where we thought we would never get used to how these cars looked. And then that conversation completely faded away. It's been a pretty good season.
Yep, had some races, had some good racing in a couple of the races, particularly at the early portions of the race where there was a lot of dicing and passing and just good stuff. But you know, as typical with Formula One, the majority of races were won on strategy. You look at a race like Mark Webber ran in Germany that was just phenomenal. The guy starts, he gets the lead, he takes a drive-through penalty and still manages to win the race.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
That was very exciting.
Proving the Adrian Newey-designed Red Bull Renault was just doing outstanding. I still think it's a little more fragile than the Braun. And, of course, with a name like Braun, you certainly can't be fragile.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, you look back at it and you wonder, you know, does this season maybe flip-flop a little bit if Sebastian Vettel doesn't run in
to
Kubica in Australia?
Absolutely.
And take him, you know, basically take away his opportunity at 8 points. You know, that could have been a huge difference.
I agree. And Sebastian's going to learn from those mistakes. And trust me, next year will be a completely different season in terms of strategy. Well,
it's going to be a completely, exactly. You know,
but still, I mean, mental-wise, maturity-wise, we're going to see a different Vettel going in there thinking and knowing that races at the beginning of the season are critical when you're fighting for a championship towards the end of the season.
Yeah, you've got to look at it that way. You look at, you know, basically Button makes his mark in the first 8 races, and that takes him all the way to the championship, basically. He doesn't really run as well in the second half, but the 6 wins that he had earlier in the year. And I am so glad we didn't have Bernie's medals, because the season would have been over 4 weeks ago.
Of course.
And that, to me, is just ridiculous. You know, if you're going to play it that way, weight the win a little higher. Give him 12 instead of 10. Don't make it who wins the most medals. It's just, to me, that's... This isn't the freaking Olympics, man.
Exactly, Stephen. Keep up the good work. Also, here in the United States, and I know this is popular in Great Britain, is Halloween is coming up this weekend. And I know you're excited because I saw the outfit as I walked in.
What am I going as?
The whips, the chains.
Oh.
The little mustache. I'm not going to say who.
And actually, you should see the friends that I've got who are going out with.
Yes, exactly.
That's,
I saw the
that's
short
the best
skirts.
Part. The best part of the entire getup.
I know.
Of being
and I saw the Devo record. Whip it good. But anyway, Max is gone, and you'll be celebrating that on Halloween. And we have a French guy back in. So let me see. We had a French guy. Then we had Max, and now we got another French guy.
Funny that the Fédération des Automobiles Internationales d'Automobile is being run by a French guy. That's weird.
And let me see. He lives in Paris. All he has to do is take the metro over down to the Place de la Concorde.
What metro? He's not taking no metro.
Oh, yes, he is.
I'm sure it's a Ferrari limo.
Well, they have a special car now. It's a Ferrari Metro. But are you excited? Jean Todt's taken over. A lot of people thought that a Ferrari dude would not make it to the FIA, but in the end, he really was the best choice. Intellectually,
yeah, I think ultimately,
experience-wise.
Yeah, he had raced in rally back in the day. He was a co-driver, right? But he's been in a car. He's basically held just about every position in a team, you know, through the years. And ideally what we hope to see is that, you know, he's a little bit more, maybe a little bit more conservative than Max was in, you know, not trying to make these wholesale changes every season and kind of thinking through the effects of things like KERS and, you know, okay, if I'm trying to save money in the sport, let me force the teams to use a completely untried and undeveloped technology. Which, you know, what's that going to do? That's going to cost a lot of money.
Well, I think Max did a lot of good for Formula One in the beginning of his tenure. I mean, a year in, you know, we had the tragedy with the Ayrton Senna in 94 at Imola, and safety ensued, and he did some great things, but I think it got out of control. The thing I like about Jean Todt, his experience and history in Formula One is recent.
Yeah.
He can relate to what's going on. I mean, Max was terrific. He was the M in March. Fantastic. I mean, he drove in Formula 2. He was on the grid when Jim Clark was killed. He finished that race, I believe, in 11th spot. I mean, Max was there, but it was just a long time ago, and I think he was just a little bit out of step with what's really going on in Formula 1, technically and fiscally, and I think Jean Todt's going to bring to the table something that's a little more experienced in terms of what's happening today.
Yeah, and I think Jean Todt will also have more dialogue with the team principals and the teams as to the directions he wants to go, instead of Max always just seemed to be so dictatorial and just, oh, we're going this way. I don't care what you guys say.
Well, exactly.
In the last 5 years, twice we've had the teams, you know, basically threaten to break away. And it was basically because Max was trying to lay down the law as he saw it, without basically getting the participants involved.
Exactly. My personal vote was for Henry Kissinger, but
Steve retired.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, I think this is a good choice. I think it's better than if Ari Vatanen.
For Formula One, definitely better than Ari Vatanen would have been. I think Ari Vatanen might have been more beneficial for series like WRC. But even then, you don't often see the head of the FIA brought up in conversations when you're scrolling through the WRC websites. It's well, not like Formula One where he's like the third of the triangle.
That's possible, but WRC has a lot of issues to talk about as well. They don't have enough teams that are involved. A lot of the rules are going to be changing again, and I think Jean Todt's got his hands full, not with just Formula One, but across the board, FIA sanctioned series.
Yeah, and frankly, you know, the FIA first and foremost should be concerned with driver safety and track safety, and then maybe, you know, start worrying about the technical issues. And not doing, you know, I know a lot of what they're trying to do is trying to even the playing field and eliminating advantages that some teams manage to develop into the sport. But sometimes they get carried away.
Not only that, but you need to attract newcomers to the sport, like the WRC. They need, I mean, we have Ford and Citroën dominating the series. Of course, Sebastian Loeb just won his sixth straight world championship. I think that's going to affect the rules. The FIA are going to say, you know, maybe we need to mix this up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, who knows what you're going to do. Maybe, for all you know, maybe they start throwing weight on winning cars to try to slow them down and or things of that nature. But you got WRC is a good point to make in that I think they've lost over the last 3 years two manufacturers who pulled out because, one, they can't seem to – for some reason, the Citroën not only is as good the following years as it was the year before – but it seems like it's like another 10 to 25% better than it was the year before. It's like Ford has finally started to make a little bit of an inroad on that. But, you know, what was it, 3 years ago, Mitsubishi pulled out. I think Skoda pulled out this year. You know, Subaru, the way they've been going, they may be out next year.
Yeah.
You know?
They need to attract more cars. I'd like to see Toyota back in, Renault, who's involved in the junior WRC, but I'd like to see them fully involved. But all of this takes money, and right now with this economic crisis that I believe is starting to move forward and improve.
Yeah, we're starting to get past it. The thing I see for a lot of teams is that there are so many options for being involved in motorsport that it's kind of tough. You take somebody like Toyota, what? They're in all three of the American Oval Series. They're in Formula One. They're maybe a little bit overextended in some ways, some of these manufacturers. And it's also gotten to the point, too, that you don't necessarily need to be in racing to sell cars as much as you did 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, I agree. I think racing today is more in terms for research and development, and then focusing on the cars maybe 10 years down the road.
Right. It's not nearly the marketing tool that it was.
No, I agree with you completely. The win on Sunday and sell on Monday is definitely a term of the past. Today, it's strictly for R&D, especially today with what we have in some of these modern hybrids is definitely what racing is all about, especially in materiel and getting better fuel economy.
Exactly. And then, basically, you take a series like WRC where basically you're learning how to you can beat the crap out of a car and keep it running.
And fuel economy is going to be a big deal next year in Formula One.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Holy mackerel. No more service stations. No more Esso, Shell. My God, Madge.
Now let's just do it on one set of tires. Make it really dull.
Only if it was Bridgestone and Michelin. But yeah. That's just me.
Yeah, ultimately, I'm hoping one of the things I hope the Junta allows back in is tire competition.
Well, we'll see about that. The problem is the tire companies might not even be interested in this anymore.
No, exactly. That becomes the issue in that, for the tire companies too, even, there are too many options to go to and provide tires to. You get Bridgestones, and there's several series, but Pirelli's buried in WRC, and some of the new manufacturers like Kumho have basically gotten into niche series and supplying them. Cooper Tires basically doing some of the American series. So it's tough to get tire manufacturers to buy.
No, that, but a lot of fans don't. I mean, I disagree with these fans because I like the tire wars, but a lot of people don't believe that the tires should be participating in the race as a factor.
But those are the same people who want to see who watch spec series where it's only the driver.
I'm just keeping an open mind, Stephen.
Theoretically, only the driver.
But exactly.
If you look at a lot of the spec series, it's a lot of the team because the guys who set up the cars the best win the races, and that's typically the teams with the most experience.
And trust me, I think you're right. So, once again, congratulations to Jean Todt.
Congratulations to Jean Todt.
I think it's exciting, and even Montezemolo. There's some reports about some Ferrari bias here, and Montezemolo came out and said he played down the reports, which are ironic, given that some fear that Todt's election as president would bias the FIA's relationship in favor of the Maranello-based team. And Luca says, I'm very happy that Todt, a person who worked so well over 16 years here in Maranello and with whom I have a very amicable relationship, has been elected into such an important, crucial position for blah, 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 blah.
But if you go back and look at the relationship that Mosley supposedly had with Ferrari, what's the difference?
Exactly.
If Jean Todt really wants to make a statement as to how he, that he's going to put Ferrari on an even footing, he should have Montezemolo come to his office so Jean can throw him out.
Well, Ferrari's always going to have a better hand in a lot of negotiations simply because they're Ferrari.
Yeah. Well, one, they're the one team that's been there.
Since the beginning.
Two, they're one of the teams that brings the most people to the track because they've been around so long, they have the most fans.
Absolutely.
The Tifosi are worldwide. You can't watch a race in Formula One and not see sections of the grandstand that are just Ferrari red. It just goes without saying. So ultimately there they have a little bit more oomph in the fact that they're bringing more to the table in that regard.
I agree. So anyway, there you have it. Last race coming up. Your thoughts on Abu Dhabi? I get a few chuckles out of this. Everybody's now coming out that, it's my last race. I've got to do well. I'm going to win the race in Abu Dhabi. Justin Button said that. Kimi Raikkonen said that. Fernando Alonso said that. Lewis Hamilton said that. We're going to have a lot of winners.
Yeah, it's going to be really crowded on that top step. It's kind of the lame duck race. And the one thing about races like this that I've seen in the past, in that it's really not going to be anybody you expect it to be. Because it's going to be really kind of a free-for-all. The teams can kind of pull out all the stops because they don't,
You mean Nico Rosberg's finally going to win a race?
Yeah, there's that possibility. Who knows? Maybe Williams nails the setup for this track and is able to pull it out. You know, we've seen the Williams perform well at points this season.
Absolutely.
Who knows? Maybe Force India gets their first podium, you know, gets their second podium. Oops. Hey, they already had one. But, you know, maybe, you know, Adrian Sutil manages to avoid running into Kimi Räikkönen and he gets a podium.
Never going to happen.
But, exactly. It's one of those things, you know, maybe BMW finally.
Well, it's their last season. And that's a big question mark. A lot, you know, and it's been in the press, everybody, especially Martin Wittmarsh wants BMW Sauber to make it to next year, which won't be BMW Sauber, it would be Sauber powered by Ferrari. But then you have Williams, who's against the 14th team entry. So I hate to say this, but Sauber is in a big, big,
they're in a bind,
laundry
but
of a mess.
I'm not really understanding that necessarily, in that BMW was basically on the grid. Did they give their spot to Lotus?
No, they didn't sign the Concord Agreement. Stinko, huh?
No, actually, a really less than intelligent move. If you were planning to sell the team, it's kind of tough to sell a team when you don't have a place at the table.
There you have it. I feel bad for...
Well, maybe Jean-Tal can intervene and...
Just, well,
you know, executive order.
If it was hair taut, maybe.
Maybe it's Napoleon taut.
Well, you know, all
his
I
grand eminence.
Well, speaking of Napoleon taut, he came out and he's also fighting for the Grand Prix de France to come back, which is this is great, you know.
Yeah, for you Frenchman.
Well, no, but for everybody. Well, I mean, just like they're talking about, and of course, Donington is a disaster. But, I mean, we all
yeah,
want
back
a friend.
On again. The last I read, they're back on again.
He's they're back on, the yes. Back off. He's on. He's off. He's on again. It's Dijon 79. I mean, exactly. What's going on here?
Exactly.
But it's ridiculous. But I agree with everybody that you need a British Grand Prix. But you also need a French Grand Prix. An Italian. You know, these are traditions. And there were some good writings on Autosport.com. Some good articles about tradition. These new tracks are all terrific and wonderful. But you need your foundation. The cement that the house sits on has to be sturdy.
Well, not only that, but to me, it's really short-sighted of Bernie Ecclestone to say we don't need a British Grand Prix. Bernie, where is the largest concentration of F1 fans per capita in the world?
But he doesn't care.
Britain.
Bernie just talks about banks and paying debt. You know, I mean, I don't even want to get into that conversation again, but... Still, I agree with everybody. We need a British Grand Prix and we need a French Grand Prix. For goodness sakes, the word Grand Prix is French.
Yeah, and ultimately Grand Prix racing began in France.
Thank you
and
very so much. Steve, again, I'm gonna have another piece of fromage. So you know, let's hope that gets sorted out. But anyway, I'm excited, sort of, but I'm also a little sad. This whole season went by really fast.
Yeah, it was definitely a quick season. I think part of that was because it was new teams that were, you know, vying for the championship that we hadn't seen. And then you had the resurgence of teams like McLaren coming back towards the latter half of the season and kind of getting back into the mix. Definitely a fun season. Definitely one of the faster seasons that we've had in a long time. And I think part of that was because we had, you know, the two long breaks. And then it was a lot of – there were a lot of back-to-backs this year.
Yeah, and to me, when I look back on this season – it seems surreal when you think about it, especially if you've been following Formula One for a while. And just think about it this season. Braun GP's the Constructors' World Champions. Jenson Button is the Drivers' World Champion. I mean, it just seems wrong.
Yeah.
But it's not, I mean, nothing against Jenson. But still, I'm still, you know, it's hard to believe that he finally cut the mustard. And he did it with Braun GP after Honda F1 pulled out. So it's been a very strange season, to say the least.
Yeah, definitely. A fun one, though.
Absolutely. I've had a blast, even though the cars did look funny at the beginning, but we got used to it towards the end. And they're definitely going to change next year with full fuel loads. That's going to move a lot of components around. The bodies are going to get wider. So get ready for another blast of interesting-looking Formula One cars. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to come back with, of course, Motorsports Mondial with Nasser Hamid. So we'll be back after this brief message.
Are you between the ages of 8 and 80 and want to experience the thrill of wheel-to-wheel racing for yourself? Do you want a hobby that you, your family, or group of friends can share? The Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series, sponsored in part by Marin Karting, is the fast-growing Northern California series of the Rotex Max Challenge USA and can lead to an FIA-approved world championship. Rotex answers your dream of racing. With a reliable engine that's sealed, keeps carts on the same level playing field, your operating costs low, your fun level high, and your skill determining your success. Be your own number one driver as part of the Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series. Race on to NorCalRotex.com to learn more. And see MarinKarting.com for Rotex engines, parts, and accessories.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial, and of course, the legend, the man, the dude, the guru, back from Europe, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. Yes, you're right. Back to Cali, back to reality. And before I go any further, major league thanks to Mr. Peter Brazier, also known as Ye on the forum, who once again showed me the way around jolly old England from Hethel to Hendon and from Silverstone to Snetterton in his Lexus luxury liner. And will you please confirm to Mr. Brazier that I have carefully, lovingly, tenderly, gingerly delivered a goodie bag from him to you.
And I thank you, and of course I thank Peter for this absolutely most wonderful gift that the host has ever received. And of course, I'm talking about an intake and exhaust valve from the Cosworth Formula One V10, driven by Fernando Alonso in 2001 from the Minardi PS01. This is just absolutely wonderful. I will just cherish this forever. It's glorious. Absolutely glorious. Peter, I thank you and I love you.
Wow. And Peter, I can confirm Clark is as happy as a NASCAR driver who gets a lucky dog in the Coca-Cola 600.
He's as happy as I've seen him since he got laid off at our old job.
Exactly.
Okay, and you know, for all the things Mr. Brazier has done for us, I have offered him some of our famous F1 Weekly checks, but I'm told Her Majesty will not give her express written consent to Royal Bank of Scotland to accept these instruments from across the pond. So I told Mr. Brazier we will honor him with a knighthood from our own Queen, Queen Desiree of Mahi Mahi.
That's wonderful.
I think that he will accept.
And we will get that, we'll get that going right away.
Yeah, but I think our queen is AWOL these days.
She's AWOL, but I think she's got her lei on and she's laying somewhere on the beach.
Good for her. Okay, wonderful time was spent together by us at Classic Team Lotus and the Brooklands Museum, which I would recommend highly as it is not far from Heathrow Airport. Brooklyn is known as the birthplace of British motorsports and aviation, and it's very, very nice. We'll talk more on this on some other podcast, but I'm totally recovered from my jet lag. We also watched, this was the high point, you know, we watched the 2009 world champion, the talented Mr. Button, zip away in an AMG Mercedes from the Brown factory, which is located just across the street from Tesco supermarket, the Kroger of UK, which I was very surprised. In January, Peter had taken me to drive by of the Red Bull factory, which was a nice, you know, location, blah, blah, blah. And Braun was nice, too. But Braun was like going to your neighborhood grocery store and right across the street, oh, there's a Formula One team here. And, of course, there were some people standing there, so we stopped and asked, what's going on here? I said, who's here, Barrichello or Button? And the guy says, oh, we're expecting Button out any time because we saw him drive inside. And there he was, waving to Peter Brazier and everybody. You know. And there is some dispute that he's not a worthy champion. What is this? A world champion, Formula One, not worthy?
Well, you know, this happens every year.
How can that be?
I mean, for some reason, it takes a little while for it to sink in. And I was talking about that to Steven. I mean, when you think about it and think back on the season, Braun GP won the Constructors. Mm-hmm. Jensen Button is world champion. If I told you this would have happened, if I told you this 2 years ago, you would look at me like I was crazy.
Which is how I look anyway. Yeah. That's another story. But, I mean, what are people
it's
expecting?
It's been a phenomenal season.
I mean, what are people expecting? A guy who won half the races or even less than that become world champion and be a worthy champion?
People don't
me
understand.
Me no comprende.
Yeah, I agree. People forget, KK Rosberg became world champion by winning just one race.
Hey, Tom Sneva won an IndyCar champion without winning a race.
See?
That doesn't mean it was not worthy. I mean,
of
you know,
course.
Sometimes these things happen.
And, a championship is all about consistency.
Absolutely. And we invite
getting Jensen, your points.
We invite Jensen Button on the show to prove his worthiness.
Oh, boy.
Or to provide a rebuttal to those who say he's not worthy.
Yeah. And then, you know, Mr. Rogers, continuing service to Frankfurt and Hockenheim. 3 days of fun and rain at Hockenheim, and met a lot of interesting people. I even got a chance to have a brief chat in the Audi hospitality with Timo Glock, and this was the after the race party, final race of the season. And I have to say, Timo Glock was there with a very mighty fine Mädchen. He's on the same program as David Coulthard, choice of ladies, very very nice.
Huh.
And then also I had a you know, a brief chat with Mr. Marcus Winkelhoff. Remember him, who led the first lap of his Formula
Absolutely.
1 race?
How could you not remember that?
Yeah. And so he was nice and kind to give me a few minutes. And he was also in the company of some very nice, what they would call pit popsies.
Well, it sounds like that's the standard over there.
Yeah, well, yeah. Once you're a Formula 1 driver, that's you have to be on pole position.
Well... Okay, Nasser, let's hear the rest of the story.
Okay, rated G. Okay, well, you know, we're going to talk about the race. Any other questions you may have?
Well, all I know is your trip sounded fantastic. We saw the pictures on the forum. All we saw was Nasser with glee. The only question I had was when you were boarding that vintage airplane and somebody was pointing. What was that all about, Nasser?
Somebody was pointing?
Yes.
You mean the guy on the plane itself?
Correct.
No, he was showing me different types of plane, you know, British Aerospace.
And I know you adore aviation.
Yeah, sure. And actually, you know, aviation has been my passion and interest, commercial aviation especially, long before I got interested in motorsports. I had, you know, members in the family in the aviation business. And British aviation industry, you know, was very big. And, you know, they came out with the first commercial jetliner, jet engine Comet, and then things went wrong.
You mean the one with the cracks or on the square windows?
Yeah, exactly.
That was a big problem.
Yeah, and so this guy was giving me a brief rundown, and so it was interesting to talk about VC-10s and BAC-11 and Tridents. So it was nice. He was showing me one of the BAC-111 planes, which even some U.S. companies bought, airlines in the late 60s, early 70s. So it was fun. I really enjoyed it. You know, talking about aviation, interestingly, there was an engine from a Junkers bomber that was on display there, and it says that since Brooklyn was a big aviation, you know, facility in England during the war, Second World War, this Luftwaffe plane was shot down, and one of the, you know, men on board, his chute did not open. He died. The others were arrested, and then, you know, as late as 70, some of them were still alive in Germany. And but then it says, you know, part of this plane was buried in sand or whatever for decades, and then it was dug up, and the engine is pretty, you know, like a engine of a plane should be, you know, a lot of mechanical stuff, this and that. And it says that the second engine from the plane is at a Canadian National Aerospace Museum somewhere in Canada.
Of the same plane?
Yeah, of the same plane.
That's pretty bizarre.
Why?
I don't know.
Yeah, so it's there's a lot of history, and this place is not too far. It's like within half an hour of Heathrow. So somebody has, if a flight is delayed at Heathrow for a few, 4 or 5 hours, I would highly recommend. And you know, they also have these old vintage buildings, and most of them are fixtures are painted in British Racing green, and of course part of the track is there. We went there again, very very nice. And one of the sheds or workshop, whatever you want to call them. They had a Jordan Formula One car, Heinz Harald Frentzen, very good looking. They had a Ayrton Senna McLaren, they had one of those 1999 McLaren West. I think it was Hakkinen's car. So there's a lot of history in these places.
They didn't have Coulthard's car? They should have had David Coulthard's car.
That's probably Hakkinen's. A private collection.
Yeah, most probably. Why do you say David Coulthard's car?
He's British. Well, Scott.
He's full British.
But a lot of these places, you know, with museums, what they do is they have far more than what you see on display, and they keep rotating.
Yeah. It's a rotation.
Well, it's like what they say about the museum in Indy, that there's like three basements below what you see, full of stuff.
Yeah, very true, very true. You've been to the Indy Museum, right?
Oh, yeah.
How about you, Mr. Rogers?
The question would be how many times I've been there.
Yes, sir. Very, very nice, very nice. Okay, so we shall, as far as the racing is concerned, start with the Hockenheim GTM and F3 Euro Series festivities. Final DTM race of the season was won by Gary Paffett for Mercedes. Audi driver Timo Scheider was second, which helped him to retain his championship. And Timo Scheider raced here at the A1 GP, and I had a brief conversation with him. And everybody loves Laguna Seca, you know, and if you ask them about corkscrew, then the smile gets even wider. So it was nice. And he remembered, you know, that we had met here, and, you know, because, you know, his team was being run by David Sears of Supernova. And they were also running Team Pakistan at that time, so they were together. So I spent quite a bit of time with those people. And that's when I met somebody from Weber Management. Alex is the guy's name. And I see him at races also every now and then. Anyway, so Gary Paffett is the winner. Timo Scheider second, which helps him get his second championship in a row. And he's with Audi, and Dario Franchitti's cousin, and we interviewed him in January of this year. Paul Di Resta was third in another Mercedes. And, you know, I was talking to some people from ADAC, ADAC, the Automobile Deutschland Club, something like that, people who organize DTM. And I said, hey, you know, why don't you bring your show to Laguna Seca? Because, you know, if they bring the show and promote it properly, not like they the way they promoted the A1 GP race, and not hold the race in March when it's snowing at Laguna Seca, I think it will bring a lot of crowd, especially with names like Ralf Schumacher and Gary Paffett.
Not only that, but Mercedes-Benz is a huge name in America.
Yeah, Mercedes-Benz, Audi. So actually, some years ago, I had spoken to somebody about trying to do something, but, you know, these things take a lot of time and energy and money, and... But I think so. Do you think it will be a good race, a good event to have a DTM promotional race at Laguna Seca?
Absolutely.
I mean, think about it. The Schumacher name should bring in a lot of
Schumacher
people.
And F1 Weekly together involved.
Yeah. Catherine Legg, Susie Stoddard. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, F3 Euro Series. And in this series, I met a lot of drivers, made some very good contacts. So, you know, things are looking very good down the road. I want to tell you something. My goal is to have at least 5 personal contacts in Formula One in 3 to 5 years. I'm already counted 2, and we'll discuss those a little bit later. I'm excited.
You're just letting everything out of the bag.
I don't need Formula One valves to get excited.
I do.
Yeah. So anyway, race one on Saturday, which would be F3 Euro Series, was won by the newly crowned champion, Jules Bianchi of France, from Nice, Marseille area. Second was Valtteri Bottas of Finlandia, and third was another French driver, Jean-Carl Vernet. And in Sunday's race too, Jean-Carl Vernet was the winner after a last lap pass on Christopher Zanella of Switzerland, and third was Mirko Bortolotti of Italy, who was racing in the series for the first time. And Mirko was racing, you know, last year he did a very impressive job. He won like 7 races in a row and a total of 9 or 10 in the Italian F3 championship. And where he really made a name is when he was given a prize of a test drive with Ferrari. This is the kid who went faster than Kimi Raikkonen.
Exactly, I recall.
Yeah, I spoke to him. Very nice, friendly guy. He asked me if I was a journalist. He says, why don't you come to my race? Because they have a race this weekend, a Formula 2 race, I believe in Spain. He says, why don't you come to my race? I said, dude, I got a job. I have a real job. I need to get back. But nice guy. A lot of these kids were very nice. And you know what is so interesting, Clark? Here I go to these places, whether it's a track in America or somewhere else. Most of the time, the people I'm meeting, whether they are young or old, famous or not famous, they are, you know, total strangers to me. I'm strangers to them. And some of these drivers are so friendly and nice that it's really a joy talking to them. And some of them are just like, you know, they'll answer your question and see you later. And what happened with Valtteri Bottas, I ran into his dad, had a pretty long conversation about racing, and he, as a dad, he was very, very concerned. What happened in the first race, Jules Bianchi, both of them, both him, Bianchi and Valtteri Bottas drive for ART, which is part owned by Mr. Nicola Tord. And last year, Nico Hülkenberg was with them, and this year he won the GP2 with ART, as you very well know. So I don't know about the team strategy, team orders. I don't even know what kind of team orders are allowed in F3 or a series. Anyway, Bianchi had already clinched the championship, had 8 wins, and Valtteri Bottas was only, I think, 4 or 5 points ahead of the second guy. He was trying to get the rookie championship. And this is the kid who won the F3 Masters at Zandvoort this year, which is very impressive always. So I'm watching the race from this big stadium, and Bottas is like, I mean, a second or two behind Bianchi all day long. And I'm thinking, you know, sooner or later, Bianchi's going to let him go by, because I think if he had won the first race, he would have clinched the rookie championship. And it didn't happen, so he finished second. And then his dad was like, he was concerned like a dad, as a dad would be and should be. He says, well, I don't understand why they did not let my son pass. And Valtteri Bottas is being managed by Aces Management, which is Didier Coton and Mr. Mika Häkkinen. So he says, I called Mika Häkkinen and talked to him about this also. And I said, hey, listen, just have your son win the rookie championship, but not on the opening lap. You know, he says, the kid is very talented, which he is. And says, you know, it's good that if he's going to win, he's going to win. He's going to earn it, you know. You don't want to depend on people to win championships anyway, because we've seen what happens when you when you're trying somebody to help you. What say you?
I say keep up the good work, Nasser.
Okay, now we're going to move from Hockenheim to Sepang in Malaysia. MotoGP from Malaysia, race victory for Casey Stoner on a Ducati, and championship glory for Valentino Rossi, who finished third on his Yamaha. This is championship number 9 for the Italian rider, 7th at the top level. Incredible performance. Any thoughts and comments on that, sir?
No, I thought it was great. It was championship weekend for Rossi, and I was glad to see Stoner win in his home country. Mm-hmm. It was all good stuff.
Yeah. Nicky Hayden was the top American rider in 5th at the Sepang circuit. World Rally Championship, Rally Great Britain, 3 Citroëns in the top 4 with Sebastian Loeb winning the event in the 2009 World Rally Championship. Championship is 6th for the Alsace driver. Mikko Hirvonen was 2nd for Ford, followed by Danny Sordo and Petter Solberg, and Petter Solberg's brother Henning Solberg, who I think is Steve's favorite driver. He was right behind him.
Exciting stuff. 6 world titles in a row. In a row. Consecutive.
Yeah, very nice. Very impressive.
That's not easy to do.
No. Winning once is not easy to do.
Exactly.
It's tough, you know.
No, and I mean, they're either going to change the rules or he's going to have to do something else.
Yeah. An S-Car from Martinsville, Denny Hamlin in a Toyota was the winner over the Chevrolet of Jimmy Johnson. Monty in another Chevy was third. And I'm sure you got this. And talking of Monty, ESPN college football commentator Bob Greasy was suspended for 1 game for saying Montoya was out having a taco, referring to this position in the chase.
Which is fantastic.
Which beckons the question, will you be upset if Steve was to say Clark is out having quiche Lorraine?
Of course not. Or would I be offended if you said I had the in-flight burrito on Air France?
No, I don't think you would be. And, you know, if I'm gone and you say Nasser is out having a chai and samosa or papadum, I'm going to be elated that you at least know these things.
Exactly. The sad part is Montoya is from Colombia, and they have no tacos in Bogota.
And plus, looking at the way he's getting on weight, he's going for burritos.
Yeah.
yeah, with sour cream.
And
the Taco Bell 7-layer burrito.
And the three cheeses.
Yeah. Yes, and let's not forget the jalapeno poppers deep fried. That's the way it is.
I concur.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's interesting.
That's why he's not going back to Formula One. It has nothing to do with his eagerness.
He can't fit in the car.
Oh, really? Is that
yeah, no, Frank Williams came up with this big shoehorn. It was a Teflon shoehorn. And it didn't work.
Yeah, yeah. He likes driving a NASCAR because he doesn't have to watch his weight anymore.
Exactly. The doors are much bigger.
No, the window is much larger than the entrance to the cockpit.
Technicalities.
Yeah. Okay, another news. Time is on Renault's side. Dutch watchmaker TW Steel has forged a 3-year sponsorship deal with Renault F1 team. Good for the team after ING and Mutua Madrileña bailing out after the Crashgate fiasco.
Do you know what TW... Yeah,
but the thing about that is people start talking about that ING was out at the end of the year anyway. They just bought themselves 3 races out.
Do you know what TW stands for?
Tell me.
Testicular watches.
Oh, wow. Very good. Very good. Like father, like son, Kevin Magnussen, son of Jan, has been quick in testing a World Series by Renault car at the Spanish Aragon track. This is the track which will be the European base of USF1. So I was gone for a week. What's the latest? I go for a week and I'm looking at the web overseas. Now, first it was Danica in consideration and movie cameras and this and that. Now it's Kyle Busch.
And well, that to was, be honest that's already, with you. Actually, that's already been quashed, too.
Yeah, but Kyle Busch is actually a good, legitimate possibility because he's a good driver and he's young.
Yeah, but, you know, any good driver is a possibility. But think about it this way. I was having this chat with somebody early this morning. When you have a driver named like Michael Andretti with tremendous, tremendous racing success in this country, one of the most successful drivers this country has produced in the last 25 years, if he struggled for whatever reason, this is not something you just walk in and win, you know. I mean, just look at in America, you know, how many players win Heisman Trophy and flop in NFL? You know what I'm saying?
I agree, but the problem is if you don't try, you will not find the few that can do this. And my example, which used to be your love, is Kimi Raikkonen, who came with very little car racing experience and had the talent. I don't know Kyle Busch, but I'm willing to give him a try. He's shown a lot of talent in Le NASCAR. And you never know. Some people have that certain, as I say, je ne sais quoi. I'm just keeping an open mind here.
Oh, okay, Mr. Steve Rogers. Okay, looking ahead, this weekend is the final race of the season, the inaugural Abu Dhabi Grand Prix at Yas Marina Circuit, which will feature the longest straight on the Formula One calendar. Every seat in the grandstand is covered, a first for a Formula One circuit. Race will start at 5 p.m. local time and will finish under floodlights. So basically it means it's, for us it's like a race in Europe, 4:30 pre-race festivities, 5 o'clock the actual race, which personally I like. You know, it's quiet in the morning.
I agree. I'm a morning kind of a guy. Coffee, a little tea biscuit.
Wow. Nabisco or Keebler Elves?
I prefer Lou.
Oh, wow. Okay, and GP2 cars have been testing at this track. Among the drivers was Alexander Rossi of Northern California, who has been impressive. And this came in, actually, I was talking to a GP2 owner on the phone, and he says, yeah, I've heard he's done very well. So the word is getting around. And he's very, you know, when you're talented, it's simple as that. And the GP2 Asia Series starts this weekend. And somebody says to me that Alexander Rossi will do a couple of races in GP2 Asia, but I don't have any confirmation. But, of course, you know, the first practice session is on Thursday, so we'll find out very quickly. But we wish everybody all the best, and may the best man win.
Absolutely.
Or the woman, for that matter.
I'm looking forward to this race weekend. It's going to be exciting. New track. No more pressure on the drivers. They can just go all out. Predictions from everybody.
Lewis Hamilton.
Steven?
Nico Rosberg.
I will predict.
Hold on. Somebody from
Spain.
Buenos Dias. Right?
Romain Grosjean. A Frenchman's going to win.
His final race with Renault, he will go and take it all the way.
Is Romain Grosjean going to have an accident?
Romain Grosjean will have an accident on turn 11.
Romain Grosjean is waiting, is an accident waiting to happen. You know, I feel sorry for him.
Why do you think he kept his day job?
At the bank?
Yes.
No, he's a very good driver, but it's one of those things, you know, you just have to go step by step.
Well, the worst is, okay, he starts out with his Fernando Alonso.
That was his biggest problem.
Okay. Well, next year, it's Robert Kubica.
If he's even there.
That's his second biggest problem.
Yeah, you know, it's, when you go against these people, it's very hard. But, you know, talking of... muy mucho hombre de España. I just would like to thank for Mr. Brazier again, and also for putting me in touch via telephone with Dr. Mark Farrington. We had a lovely chat while we were in his car, and also with Javier Vicente Garcia, our friend and listener, and long time one of the originals. You know, these are the original posse.
This is like a F1 Weekly roundtable,
familia, mobile roundtable. You know. And spoke to Javier, and he was performing music thing in England, going back and forth between England and Holland. So our timing was a little bit off when I was flying out of England, he was flying in. But it was nice to hear his voice and talk to him. And hopefully, you know, one day we will catch up again with these folks and other listeners who are interested in getting together and talking motor racing.
Nasser, thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mundial. So now, let's go right to the wrap-up with the forum updates. Steven?
Forum updates for October 27th. 1 week later, the Gen Civil War still rages on across the many threads on the forum. Worthy champion? Useless driver? Families are being torn apart and friends are becoming foes as arguments are lobbed as hand grenades over military trenches. Kobayashi's performance in Brazil did not go unnoticed, and the forum saw the burst of the Kayumi Kobayashi fan club, with Ye in the role of the mother. How long the Kobayashinets remain active still remains to be seen, and Abu Dhabi may provide some answers. Another active thread during the week were invest in Flavio's Midtown New York City apartment. Mercedes don't need 70% of Braun GP. Jean versus Ari, who will take over the whips and chains at the FIA? Finally, H. Bright Music created a thread dedicated to list Tricky Dick's innumerable faults, a thread that is now discussing certain specifics of the male anatomy and the relation of its size to the supercar one owns or wished one owns. This is just getting a little too carried away, gentlemen. Thank you very much, Miguel. Thank you, Miguel, again for the forum update.
And you know what? I want to be part of that Kobayashi fan club. I thought he did an outstanding job.
I was very impressed. I'm sure Kazuki Nakajima has a different opinion. But under pressure, here's a kid, you know, who has not won a lot of races in F3 or the series and GP2. I think two in each series in 2 years. Which is not very impressive, but he really, really did a very... I was very impressed, you know.
I was very impressed as well, and I want to get one of his hats immediately.
Yeah, and there's a strong chance that he will be... He's a Toyota driver, Japanese, that he will be getting the block seat. And what do you think about Trulli, you know? Trulli going pretty cuckoo there.
He's nuts!
Yeah, I mean...
He's senile. Adrian Sutil did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And everybody agrees with that, except for Yarno Trulli. So I think, Yarno, it's time to...
I think his career has been chopped at Toyota with all
well,
the...
Well, you know, I mean...
Not only that, but Toyota is, I think, looking to downgrade price-wise with the drivers they're running because, you know, they can't do any worse paying a cheap guy than they've been getting out of the guys they're paying pretty decent salaries to. You know, if they can't get Kimi, then, you know, you may as well use... kids like Kobayashi and maybe find another up-and-coming driver to do it.
You know, Kimi's name is being thrown around as a McLaren driver, as a Toyota. I'll tell you, if he goes to his managers, Steve and David Robertson, father and son, they're very shrewd people. If he ends up at Toyota, he probably will be paid $30-35 million.
Toyota, it'll be another Ralph Schumacher type pay.
Exactly, and Toyota, that's what they're going to get.
Toyota will not pay that kind of salary anymore. Those
well,
days,
it's not
you'll
right
be, you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised.
Well, I will be surprised, and I've been wrong so many times. I mean, Rubens Barrichello is still racing, and I wrote him off years ago.
Oh, really?
Well, we had Bruno Senna starting the season in that seat.
Yeah.
Whether it was Braun or Honda.
Exactly. And it's very possible that Bruno Senna could replace Romain Grosjean. Testing will begin soon.
At Renault?
Mm-hmm.
His name was more linked with Campos Racing.
Well, I'm just talking what I know through my people.
Yeah. And, you know, talking of your people, interestingly, the World Championship for the second year in a row got decided in Brazil. And for the second year in a row, a British driver spoiled the day for the local
and
fans.
And the second year of the row, it was fifth place.
And more.
Was it the third year in a row that it was determined in Brazil?
No, yeah, third year, you're right. Open mind, that's what happens in, you know. But we are talking in reference to British driver
but
winning over a Brazilian
second,
driver.
Second Brazilian, I mean,
yeah.
British driver clinching in Brazil.
Yeah, and also both fifth place and both of them, as Mr. Brazier pointed out to me, their car numbers were 24.
22.
22?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We're professionals here
yeah
now, sir.
Jet lag, okay. Any mistake for this week is on jet lag.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So keep up the good work. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Let's quickly wrap it up. Marin Karting is proud to organize and support the 2009 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series. Marin Karting offers CRG carts, engines, and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. For more information, contact Marin Karting at marinkarting.com, or you simply can pick up the phone, 415-898-0999. And make sure you check out the Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series website. You can find a link on the Marin Karting website because they'll have their ninth race of the season, and of course, we know how special number 9 can be. Nasser?
Yes, sir. Talking of Jim Russell, you know, Jim Russell Racing Driver School, they're coming up with this, I guess the car is
new
already
program
there. Yeah, it's like a Jim Russell Racing Driver Research Program and a series. And Alan McNish will be at Sears Pond Infineon Raceway. I think it's the 20th and the 19th of December, and hopefully I'll be able to go there too and do an interview with him. And
he's a good man.
Yeah, he is, and he's been very cooperative in interviews and all that. And also, the one thing interesting about this new series that they are coming up with is that the person who wins the championship next year, in 2011, he will be given a fully funded drive in Formula 2 in Europe. So this is very, very impressive. And I wish the series and all the drivers all the best.
Thank you, Nasser, for that tidbit of information. We want to mention our MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter sites, of course. Just do a search and make us a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@f1weekly.com. And I want to thank, once again, Peter Brazier for giving me the Fernando Alonso Cosworth F1 V10 valves. That would be one intake and one exhaust from 2001 Marnardi PS01. So, Peter, keep up the good work. Checks on the way. This is just outstanding. Tears are flowing down my cheeks.
And I would like to thank him again also for helping me out when I'm there.
So there you go. The in-flight burrito is on the way, Peter.
He might go for in-flight fish and chips, you know.
That's true.
Is he the curry guy?
Are we done here?
What do you mean the curry guy?
He likes curry.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody loves curry in England.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.